and welcome to the Trust Your Body Project. Trust Your Body Project is a podcast and social media movement designed to help you heal, eat, and create space for the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Whitney Catalano. I'm an anti-diet, health at every size registered dietitian, helping you stop dieting, make peace with your body, and take the power back from your inner bully. Welcome to episode number 24. On today's episode, we are talking about navigating relationships, whether it's your partner or your friends or your parents or whoever, with people who diet or are interested in dieting or who maybe you used to diet with, all of the above. So we're going to focus today on how to have the conversations with these people, how to set boundaries, and just kind of how to navigate this whole thing, because I know it can feel really scary and it's something that a lot of us don't particularly know how to do gracefully. Luckily, it is without a doubt one of my favorite parts of what I do is helping people navigate their interpersonal relationships because I just love that stuff. I'm a big nerd for love-related things. So, and just communication in general. So I'm really excited to talk about this today. And thankfully, because as you may have seen, I did not have an episode last week. I can't even tell you the exhaustion I've been experiencing the past 2 weeks. I have a hunch it has something to do with the time of year, every year around August, because my dad passed away in August. I get a little bit like melancholy, inexplicably, there we go. And I think that that's what's coming up, although it's hard to know for sure. I also have just been trying to, as I've said before, navigate, you know, living by myself and all of that. So it could be a number of things. But I'm sleeping again. That's always a relief. And I'm just trying to like figure out what it is, what's going on and like let myself rest, you know? So yeah, we'll keep you posted on my energy levels for those of you who care. So this podcast is not brought to you by anyone, but it could be. Please share this podcast with your friends and family and leave a review on Apple Podcasts so that more and more people find me. I've been hearing from people here and there that they just find me randomly through the iTunes store or like the Apple Podcasts or whatever it's called, which is freaking awesome. So I love that. Like, please, please, please keep doing that. Thank you so much to the people who have left reviews. Elsa Mujaj, I think is how you say that. And Namili, maybe. Thank you to you both. And please leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. I'm going to be also posting them on my Instagram stories. And something that, you know, I'll tell you is that I'm going to be reposting on my Instagram stories anyone who tags me in screenshots of them listening to the episode. So just, you know, take a quick screenshot, post it to your Instagram stories, tag me, and I will repost it. So if that interests you, do it. You can also tweet at me, whatever. Do what you want. But just get the word out there so that I can, one, get some sponsorships, would be freaking awesome. And then two, just, you know, so more people can find this podcast. So I've been getting a lot of messages lately of people who just started listening, which is so cool. Welcome. Thank you. And this information is really important. I try to put a lot into this podcast, so we want as many people to hear it as possible. Gotta fight against that diet culture bullshit. You know what I'm saying? As always, if you are interested in coaching with me, one-on-one coaching, typically I work with people on a six-month basis. I am considering doing like an a la carte thing now that you have to apply for coaching. So I no longer do my free clarity calls. As I've mentioned in the past few episodes, I officially changed it. I was on top of it. I got it done. It only took me a few weeks. So now if you go to whitneycatalano.com/book, you can apply for a clarity call. And I basically screen anyone who applies and see if I think that you would be a good fit. But I'm considering offering a la carte sessions, like one-on-one, just single a la carte sessions that are, you know, 90 minutes that are a chance for you to really like dig deep and clear up anything, because I've been having some really great clarity calls recently with people that haven't turned into clients, who just kind of like needed support around certain things. And I felt like they walked away with a lot. I walk away with inspiration for these podcasts, including this one, you know? So yeah, I'm thinking of doing that. But in the meantime, if you are the type of person where you feel like you could do it on your own, but you're really struggling to heal your relationship with food, you feel like this is really getting in the way of your life. It's getting in the way of the things that you want to do with your friends and family, maybe your partner. It's getting in the way of your enjoyment. It is getting in the way of you going after things you want in your career, or, you know, just doing things because you feel like you need confidence first and you don't have any confidence. Plus, you're constantly thinking about food. You're constantly restricting, hating your body, all of these things. And it absolutely terrifies you to let go of control and really just ride this process out. I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend working with someone. It honestly is life-changing. All of my clients come out the other side just like completely new versions of themselves, not different people, but just more authentic versions of themselves, more confident, more outspoken. I had a client who even dyed her hair red during the process just because she was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I just want to do something different. I want to stand out. So things like that. I have a lot of clients who change their careers, who leave their partners, who find new partners. If you're, you know, dating is an issue, we can work on that together. We heal a lot of old emotional trauma. So if you have, you know, a history of your parents food shaming you and all of that madness, I help you through all of that. And I hold your hand through the process. I push you to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable, never out, you know, I'm not going to like force you to whatever, but I, you know, push you to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit outside your comfort zone so that you can really grow and have a container, a 6-month container for this total life transformation, like completely changing the way that you show up in your life. And so in my opinion, like investing in yourself, investing in this transformation is without a doubt one of the best things that you will ever do for yourself. So if that seems like something that you want to do, but you have enough time, energy, and like resources to commit to something like this and to really like offer yourself that 6 months of assisted or guided transformation, if you will, then let me be the one to help you. You can book a clarity call with me, WhitneyCatalano.com/book. And I am here waiting for all your applications. And then a quick disclaimer that the information in this podcast is for informational, educational purposes only, is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. All right, let's get into it, shall we? So like I said at the beginning, today we are talking about how to talk to a partner, how to talk to friends, how to talk to family who diet about what's going on and how to set boundaries with them, how to sort of navigate this whole thing with people in your life who diet. Because this is without a doubt one of the most common questions that I get from people is, you know, my partner feels like the only way that they can, you know, heal something, whether it's like an injury or some sort of disease or something, is through dieting, but I'm in recovery. Like, how do I convince them? And it's usually framed in that way. Like, how do I convince my parents to stop dieting? How do I, you know, convince my partner that dieting is not the answer? How do I talk to them and get them to stop talking about their diet in front of me because it's really triggering? So I wanted to kind of break this down and address sort of all aspects of navigating relationships with people who diet and when you're going to have to end the relationship if that's something that you want to do, or when you need to practice patience and when you're expecting too much. So kind of the whole gamut in between, okay? You don't have to end every relationship with people who diet. That would be so lonely. There's ways that you can strategically go about this and have these conversations. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So the first thing that I want to say before anything else is you need to let people in on your recovery, on what's going on with you when you feel ready. So that is something that continuously surprises me. How many people are going through this entire process alone? I know that we tend to diet with people, have diet buddies, diet partners. Not everyone does, but a lot of people do. You have those people that you go on juice fast with or text each other like, oh, you know, I need to go work this meal off or whatever it is. Like, you have those people that you can kind of like commiserate with during dieting. But ultimately, dieting ends up being this really isolating process because you don't want to do things if there's going to be food you can't eat there. And when it becomes obsessive, when it becomes this thing that you really need help healing from, that's when it's become isolating, right? So we make the mistake in recovery because of diet culture, because diet culture is so pervasive, that we make this mistake that we don't tell people. And that's a problem because being isolated in this experience can be very, very confusing, even if the people who you would tell have absolutely no idea how to help you. You still need to get this out of your head and into the world. Otherwise, you are just going to feel like you are stuck and like kind of losing it because all of these thoughts are building up in your head and they have no outlet. They have nowhere to go. You're kind of still in this alone. And that's really not what we want to do. So the first and foremost thing that I want to say is you need to start telling people what's going on. The easiest way to tell someone is to, in a vulnerable moment, one person at a time, the person who you think will like get it the most, you just say like, hey, I've been meaning to tell you, you know, I've been kind of going through this thing where I'm no longer dieting. I'm, you know, working on my mental health around it. And if you're not ready to be like, yeah, I think I have an eating disorder. I think I had an eating disorder. You can at least start with, I am really working hard on separating guilt and shame around food and working hard on loving my body, blah, blah, blah. Like you can water it down for the first time you tell people and slowly reveal things. Like it doesn't have to be this sort of big emotional dump crying fest every single time you tell someone. You can do it in pieces, but just let people know like, hey, I'm not dieting anymore. Like I don't really want to talk about dieting if that's okay because of where I'm at with my relationship with food. I'm really trying to work on that. So if you don't mind, and this is where the second part of my advice is going to come in, you have to tell people not to talk about dieting to you, especially people in your life who used to diet with you. You're going to have to tell them, can we please not talk about dieting? Would it be okay? Or like, I would really appreciate if you actually wouldn't come to me about your diet. Like, I want to support you. I'm glad that you're doing something that's making you happy, whatever. You know, whatever you want to say, like you can fluff it up. Fluff it the fuck up. I always say that. I'm like, make it fluffy. Like this is not a college essay or a high school essay where you have to cut down the fluff. You can make this as fluffy as you need to, because for those of you listening, especially those of you who are a lot like the clients I tend to work with, you're people pleasers. So for those people pleasers out there, you can like fluff it up to make this more comfortable. Okay. So that's the first step in sort of part two, which is tell people and ask for people not to talk about dieting in front of you. Okay. Now here's the thing. There are going to be people in your life who are going to be like, oh yeah, like whatever, you know, and then still talk about dieting to you or still talk about their bodies or whatever. That was the biggest thing that I had to face was my friends in particular making like body conscious comments about themselves in front of me. And when I was first recovering, like that was very, very, very triggering, especially with my friends who are smaller than me. Now I'm small, like I'm not gonna pretend like I'm not thin, but it still like was jarring to see people who are smaller than me talking shit about their bodies and try to not internalize that, you know? So if that's the state that you're in right now, you need to be very clear. Like, I'm working on liking my body right now. I'm working on not dieting. I'm working on whatever you're working on, okay? Please don't talk badly about your body. One thing that I tell clients to tell their partners is if they themselves, the clients, are working on not talking badly about their bodies, but like find it to be a little bit of a habit, I will have my clients tell their partners to say something like, hey, don't talk about my friend like that, or don't talk about my partner like that, when they catch themselves or when they, you know, go into autopilot and say something negative about their bodies. I'll say, get your partner involved, have them call you out on it, have them say something like, hey, stop bullying my friend, or stop talking about my friend like that. Because it makes it lighthearted without it being this thing of like shame. You know what I mean? It makes it a little more lighthearted. It also is a good reminder that you are your partner's or your friend's friend, right? So you wouldn't want to see a friend of yours be bullied and insulted. So when you do it to yourself, it's a good reminder to have someone outside of you say, hey, you're insulting my friend right now, and I really don't appreciate that. Because it's just like a cute way to remember that you are on the same team as yourself. Like, you're on the same team as your body. Your body is your friend. And we don't talk shit about our friends, okay? So when it comes to body talk, it may take a while for the people in your life to not say these things in front of you. And especially with parents, one thing that I've found is that it may take a while for your parents to not make comments. Especially if you're in a bigger body, you may notice, or you may be well aware, not notice, but like well freaking aware, that your parents take a lot of liberty around what they can and cannot say to you about your body, about losing weight, about your health, because your parents probably feel like they are trying to help you and that what they know about weight is right. Because most people who think a certain way about weight believe that they're right. So it may take a while for your boundaries to actually settle into place, which is why I always tell people, like, start earlier than you're ready. Set your boundaries earlier than you're ready, because it's going to take some trial and error. It's going to take people a while to break these habits. Like, I don't know if you go out in public ever, because every time I go out in public, I hear something. People are talking shit about their bodies, and people are like putting judgment onto food and, you know, morality onto food like it's nothing. You know, it's become this way that we connect casually, which is so sad and so painful for me to watch. But it just goes to show how much of a habit, an ingrained habit, this truly is. And we really need to practice patience with our friends, our families, our partners around what they say. The point is not for them to be perfect, okay? And I think that's something that's kind of misconstrued in the Instagram representation of what it means to set boundaries. It's like, set your boundaries or leave your friends or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, if they don't follow your boundaries, like, they're not your friend. And here's the thing. I would say, yes, that's true about people who get mad. Okay. So if you say, hey, would it be okay if you could please not talk about dieting in front of me, if you could please not talk shit about your body, and your friends get mad that you do that, one, that's a reflection of their internal environment, okay? It's a reflection of them, because if it's really hard for someone, if it's really that infuriating for someone to not talk shit about their bodies in front of you, then like, they've got a lot more stuff that they need to figure out. But two, it means that those friends, for whatever reason, those people benefit from you not having boundaries. So when you set your boundaries around something and you're met with either total disrespect, no matter how many times you say it to them, they continue to make these comments, or it's met with anger or frustration that you're setting these boundaries, then you need to really strongly reevaluate whether or not this is going to be a beneficial and supportive relationship for you. Just cut and dry. I'm not saying that the first time, and this is where the nuance comes in that I was just saying, I'm not saying that the first time someone messes up, you have to cut them out of your life forever, because that would be ridiculous. We would have nobody in our lives. Like, that would, you know, like, people mess up all the time. We're human, right? And it's a big ask. Honestly, it's a big ask to have someone completely change the way that they talk about dieting and bodies, especially someone who doesn't know about health at every size and the anti-diet movement. It's a big ask to say, hey, I need you to not talk about these things in front of me. So it's going to take some time. But there's a difference between someone trying and struggling or forgetting or whatever, and then apologizing when you're like, hey, you did that thing, you know, that I asked you not to do, like, could you not do it? There's a really big difference between someone being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I totally forgot. I didn't mean to, I like didn't even notice myself saying it, versus someone saying, you know, calling you selfish or getting mad at you or just like blatantly disrespecting your boundaries. Those are two very different things. The first one is someone who's trying and struggling. And that's, you know, hi, like, I'm sure you can relate. The second one is someone who is not taking you seriously and has not invested in your well-being more than they are invested in their comfort. Okay. And that's a problem. The people who are close to you, especially with something this serious, like disordered eating, the people who are close to you need to understand how serious this is, that they respect your boundaries. And you need to take action or get mad or get, you know, whatever, emotional about it, if they're not respecting your boundaries. Sometimes it's as simple as they just didn't know the gravity of the situation. They don't understand that what casual dieting is to them is like actually a really aggressive, you know, disordered eating struggle to you, right? So you need to make that clear, first of all. Second of all, you need to actually take action if people continue to disrespect your boundaries. So that's kind of the next part of this, is like, follow up your words with action. And that can be really, really scary for people pleasers. Like, I get that. I totally get that that can be terrifying to imagine getting rid of someone in your life. But I just had this conversation with a friend recently who is a new friend. And she was telling me, you know, the people in her life, the friends in her life, when they found out about her eating disorder, they were kind of nonchalant. They kind of don't agree with whatever. And they were very dismissive and have been very disrespectful to her boundaries. And I just looked at her straight up and I was like, those are not your friends. Those are people who think that they know what's best and think that they know what's best for you. And unless you are like very strongly emotionally tied to these people, this sounds like it's going to be more challenging than it is worth it to keep them in your life. And you know what? By the end of the conversation, she was like, wow, I didn't even realize that I could get rid of people in my life, but that actually sounds like the thing that I need to do, you know? So sometimes you do need to hear it. And so if there's someone coming to mind when I'm saying all of this, that person is probably not your friend. They act like a friend in some ways, but unless they're willing to follow that up with like respecting the things that you need for your mental and emotional well-being, that's not friendship, you know? Like, that's just not, you gotta take some action and you gotta distance yourself. Now, what do you do when the people in your life diet? Aside from tell them not to talk about the diet, because obviously that's a big part that we've already covered. Well, one of the questions that I get that I said at the beginning is that your job is not to convince someone else that they're wrong, okay? Because that's the automatic instinct, right? Is to convince someone, especially if it's a partner, someone who you're close to, or maybe it's a, you know, a parent, right? I hear this a lot with parents and partners specifically. That parent, that partner, whoever will be, maybe it's a friend for, you know, some people it's like a sibling. That person who is that close to you, and obviously you don't want them to diet because you know how it ends, you know how the story ends, you know how the saga ends, you're living it right now, and you just don't want them to go down that rabbit hole or continue down that rabbit hole. The instinct is to say, this is wrong, you don't need to do this, like health at every size, no, like inundate them in research and like send them articles and like all this stuff, okay? That's the instinct. That's like the human instinct, the ego instinct to be right, to be validated, to be affirmed, to want to share all of this with that person, etc. But the harsh reality of the situation is that it is not your job to convince anyone of anything. It is not your job to educate someone on something that they don't want to know about. It's not your job to be right, basically. It's not your job to bring them onto your side in regards to their life. It's your job to ask for what you need, to set boundaries, which is similar to asking for what you need. It's also your job to enforce those boundaries, like we talked about. And it's your job to, in the same way that you're asking for support in something that doesn't make a lot of sense to them, for you to find a way to support that person, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Now, I am not saying sacrifice your recovery to support someone who's on a diet. I am not saying be the person that they talk to about their diet. I am not saying be the person who you go to lunch with them and have to sit through their sort of shenanigans because they're hungry. Like, they're hungry, they're talking about food in front of you in a way that is triggering to you, harmful to you, that is not your job. But your job is to support them and to not make them feel like they're wrong or to push all of this stuff onto them. And also, I'll tell you, if someone is not ready for the Health at Every Size anti-diet message, as I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, they are not going to be open to hearing it, and they are going to be very strongly defensive against it if they're not ready. And I know that some of you can relate to this because I get this a lot in my DMs of people being like, I just wasn't ready when I first found your page. You made me really angry. I unfollowed you a lot. And then here I am 6 months later actually following you because I need it now. Or 2 years later, I hear stories all the time of people who picked up the intuitive eating book 7 years ago, read the first chapter, unconsciously was just like, nah, never, just wasn't ready for it. And then all of a sudden picks it up 6 years later and they're like, oh yeah, okay, I just wasn't ready. I had to go through like 18 more diets first before, you know? So it's not your job to make someone ready for this information. If they're interested and you're living your truth, you're leading by example, then they'll ask. My friends, my closest friends, have been so amazing. When I first started down this journey, they asked me so many questions, and it was awesome. It was honestly awesome. My mom was different, right? She didn't ask a lot of questions. She wanted to know about my business. She wanted to know about all these things, but she didn't ask a lot of questions. She wasn't really sure how to go about it because she wanted to support me, but she just didn't really know how, which is kind of like classic mom. So cute. Like, love the intention there. And she was just sort of a silent lurker. But as she's listened, like, she's taken it upon herself without me having to pressure her to listen to all my podcasts because she's proud of me, and she's learning so much. So it's things like that. People go about it in different ways. But if they want to find out and you're busy living your truth, they'll ask, okay? So again, back to what we were talking about with if someone who's really close to you starts a diet or is currently dieting, your job is not to be their diet partner. Your job is not to put yourself at risk of being triggered or falling back into that. Your job is to say, hey, I just want you to be happy. I want to do what I can to support you. Obviously, I can't be the person who talks to you about your diet. I can't be the person who you know, whatever. I'm here if this diet doesn't go well and you want to learn more about what I'm doing. Like, I'm here and I will be willing to answer any and all questions. But in the meantime, like, how can I support you? Or what are you trying to accomplish through dieting? Is there another way to think about it? Because I have a lot of information that might be helpful to you even if you still want to diet. Like, if they're trying to accomplish something else. So I got a question recently in Club TYB that was like, my partner thinks that the only way to help their back pain because of what doctors have said is through weight loss. How do I convince him he's wrong? And I was like, it's not your job to convince him that he's wrong, right? Your job is to support him, offer up alternative non-weight related solutions, and see if there's a way that you can go about healing his back, supporting his back pain that isn't waiting for weight loss. Because also, like, if we're being real, right? Like, how long does weight loss actually take on a diet? And this isn't, we're not even talking about whether or not it's going to work long term, because that's a whole, you all know how I feel about that and what the research says and all that stuff. Slash, if you're here, you've probably experienced it. Hi. But just, you know, in the meantime, if he still wants to diet, it's not her job to convince him that he's wrong. She can still support him in other ways, finding other routes to helping his back pain without invalidating his desire to diet to fix his back, if that makes sense. So it really is just offering support in the way that you can, in any way that you can, without putting yourself in harm's way. This does mean that you just sometimes don't have the answers and have to just say, how can I help you? How can I support you? I'm your friend. You know my boundaries. I'm your partner. You know my boundaries. You know what is going to be hard for me to hear, and what's going to, you know, what kind of things I don't want to talk about with you. But within what I can do, what kind of support do you need from me? Honestly, that's the way that we should be approaching friendships, relationships, etc., all the time, is ask, instead of trying to problem solve for other people, ask them, how can I support you? What do you need from me? Because then it sets the stage for them to feel comfortable. If they don't feel comfortable asking, because if you didn't feel comfortable, chances are the people in your life don't feel comfortable either. It is a weird thing to ask for help. It's a weird thing to ask for support. I get that. I don't find it weird anymore. I hope that as you continue to practice it, you won't find it weird either. But I know at the beginning it can feel a little scary because it's vulnerable to ask for help, right? So by setting the stage, by asking, how can I help you? You are making it known that they need to guide you in helping, you know, or in asking for help. And in the same way, they can then respond with, how can I support you? Sometimes when I've been upset or when something's been going on and my friends will ask, what do you need from me? Or they won't even say, they'll be like, what's going on? Are you okay? I'll just be like, no, but can you keep asking if I need support? Can you keep asking if I'm okay? And then they do. It's beautiful. It's like, that is the littlest thing, you know? It's okay to ask someone to ask you regularly if you are okay, especially if you're going through a really hard time. Ask people to check in on you, you know? Ask people to be there for you, to be someone, you know? If you want to just vent to someone about whatever you're going through with your eating stuff, but you know that they won't have good advice to give, and this goes for, honestly, anything, you can just say, hey, can I just vent to you? I'm not looking for any sort of solutions. I just need a place to, like, vent without solutions for a second. And if they offer you solutions, just be like, I so appreciate your perspective on it, but actually, I just needed to vent right now. I'm not really looking for anyone else's opinion. Done. So these are the different ways that you can navigate this. Now, unfortunately, one of the things that we need to talk about is what happens if a partner, right, or a family member who you're not going to necessarily, like, leave them, right, like they're your family or they're your partner or whatever, is dieting and it's really hard for you to be around it. Well, for starters, you can not eat with that person. And I know that feels weird, especially for partners, especially if you're used to eating dinner with that person. I know it might feel weird. You can still, like, sit together, but maybe you just eat separately at separate times. You eat before or after your partner, not, like, obviously you wait for the partner to finish and then you sit down to eat. But just, you know, you kind of figure it out. Work schedules are different, whatever. Like, you just kind of navigate it and figure it out. So maybe what it is you just don't eat with that person. Parents, I would say maybe what you got to do is not talk about health with them. Unless it's something serious that they need to know about, a lot of times it can be better to just not talk about that kind of stuff and to just say, hey, like, I really don't want your advice. I want to tell you what's going on. I want to ask. I want to check in with you both about, or you about, you know, your health. But I don't want to hear about diet changes. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff. Weight loss, any of that. I don't need advice. I don't need recommendations. Like, please don't tell me what to do. So it's getting creative. It's navigating your relationships, the ones that are really, really important to you, in a way that is going to, again, protect you from being triggered. Yes, obviously the end goal is to be able to be around people who are dieting and not feel triggered. But I gotta say, every time I'm even in a dieting conversation, I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get out of here. You know, like, it is hard. I get that. I think it's hard now because I just get mad and annoyed and I want to say something, but it's not my place. Again, it's not my place to convince people, right? But the end goal is to be able to be around people and not, like, you know, for them to be able to talk about their diet and for you to be so firm in what you're doing that it's not that triggering. But you can't win. You can't win at all, you know? One thing that I like to say too, and I've posted about this on my Instagram before, is that if you're feeling particularly sensitive, maybe you're further along in your journey and you're feeling particularly sensitive to diet or body talk for whatever reason. This year before I went to a few music festivals, I was feeling like very, very sensitive, like, whew, very sensitive. So I was just like, hey, to my friends, my group chat of girls who were going to the festival and talking about clothes and stuff, a little comment was made about weight or bodies or whatever. And I was like, hey, can we just not do the whole, you know, talking about being skinny thing, because I'm really sensitive to it right now. I really don't want it to ruin my good time. If you all want to side text about it, that's fine. But I just, like, I would really appreciate if we could keep it out of the group chat. And, you know, it was awkward. Like, I definitely made the group chat go silent, but worth it, because I said what I needed to say and I set my boundaries. And I had a friend reach out to me on the side and be like, hey, sorry about that. Like, I forgot, honestly. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't care if you forget. That's fine, you know? But you got to just keep reminding. So it's okay to be like, hey, I'm extra sensitive right now. I have two notes on this conversation, okay? The first is just to reiterate that it is not your job to convince anyone else of what they need to do, what they need to believe about dieting, what they need to, whatever. And on the flip side of that, it is your responsibility to not take on and internalize people's comments, okay? Does that mean that you're never gonna internalize a comment again? No. You're probably going to, like, tomorrow, okay? But it is your responsibility to try to not internalize people's comments, okay? People oftentimes project what they have going on in their internal world, and you are a mirror, just as other people are a mirror to you. So if someone is struggling with food, if someone's struggling with their body image, and you don't know how much, right? You can't tell necessarily how much by the amount they talk about it. I don't know if there's a correlation, although I imagine there might be, okay? But you don't know how much, you don't know how badly someone's struggling, okay? But you can, it's safe to say that someone is struggling with their body image. If they make comments about either your body or their own body or someone else's body or whatever it is, and the same goes for food. You can pretty safely say that someone is struggling with food if they make comments about judging food, commenting on your food, commenting on whatever, whoever else's food. So when I say don't internalize, and that is your responsibility not to internalize these comments, what I mean by that is you need to figure out a way, and I'm happy to dive deeper on this in a future episode, but we need to figure out a way to recognize that the things that people say about food, about bodies, about whatever, has more to do with them than it does to you. Even if it's about your body or your food, it has way more to do with them than it has to do with you. Period, end of sentence. And if it's about you, and it's something that they see in you that is like sparking some comment in them that they feel like they need to say out loud or whatever, then chances are it's because you are just mirroring back their own internal shitstorm of stuff around food and bodies that they then feel the need to project onto you. This does not mean it's true. It doesn't mean that you need to change yourself. If your partner doesn't want to eat sugar or something like that, you know, like gluten, whatever the fad is to cut out, right? That does not mean that you have to change anything about the way that you eat just because they believe a certain thing. It also doesn't mean they're necessarily judging you. And if they are judging you, again, that says more about them than it does about you. So other people's opinions, other people's likely misinformed opinions, okay, have more to do with them than it has to do with you. And it's your responsibility not to take those opinions on or internalize them. If you're having a hard time with that, the best way to sort of get that out is by talking about it. I have people tell me all the time, you know, I actually haven't told anyone that. Like, someone made a comment to me 6 months ago that I've just been brooding over for 6 months and haven't told anyone about. Well, yeah, you're going to brood about it for 6 months if you don't tell anyone about it. Like, get this off. And the minute that we talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, sounds like they have issues. I'm not diagnosing them. I'm just saying, you know, if they're making a comment like that, they're probably having some issues. So then it's solved. Then we've talked through it, you know. So talk it out with someone who you think would understand and would at least be an ear, okay? So that's the first thing. It is your responsibility. It's not your job to convince anyone anything, but it is your responsibility not to take on other people's comments and take on other people's perspectives. The second thing that I'm going to say to close this out is you will mess up. I promise you, you will mess up. You will internalize something for 5 days and then like explode about it over something super small. We do that all the time, right? You like internalize something that actually made you mad, but then the thing that causes you to react is something so small and, you know, insignificant that it feels like ridiculous that you're reacting to that, but, you know, it had to kind of come out somewhere. So you're gonna blow up at a friend or a family member or a partner. You're going to cry probably in a, you know, seemingly inappropriate place to start crying. I hear this all the time of like, this thing happened, I just started crying, or this person said something about sugar, I started crying, it was a mess, they felt really bad, they didn't understand, like, I didn't understand. These things are gonna happen. One time I was at a wedding with staying in a house with like 12 girls from college, and I freaking blew up at a bunch of them about body comments, because I'd been saying things over and over again, you know, it was still happening. I freaked out. I was struggling myself and I freaked out. Am I proud of it? No, absolutely not. That sucked. But I also am compassionate with myself. I'm not holding on to it. I was compassionate with myself in the moment. And I like to tell that story because even I blow up, even I have these moments where it's like, oh, shouldn't have gone about it that way, but I did. And I just went up afterwards and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to like freak out. It's just, it kind of reached my limit on talking about it. And then that comment pushed me over the edge, but I shouldn't have blown up at you. And I explained, okay, this is why I blew up. This is what my brain tells me. So that's a really big thing. This is what my brain says to me when you say, oh, blah, blah, like this, you know, degrading comment about your body, even though you think it's about your body, my brain tells me that my body is wrong. And I know that's my problem, but it would really mean a lot to me if you could just not for like 24 hours while we're here. Having that conversation, explaining why my brain was taking it and running with it, made a bigger impact, because then I was able to be like, this is just something that I'm still learning how to navigate. And I know you think that you talking about your body is only about your body and why should it affect me, but it does. And it shouldn't affect me. I don't want it to affect me, but it does. So now that we've talked about it, is that okay? And they were like, yeah, sorry. Like, I didn't realize it was like that, you know? I'll be more careful while we're hanging out. And it was good. It went over, you know? Again, the initial blow up, not great. So you're gonna mess up. That's what it is. Like, that's just, expect it, okay? And be willing to mess up, because if you're willing to mess up, then it doesn't feel so scary when you mess up. It just is what it is. And you can just move forward knowing that you'll do better next time. You'll probably think of something better you could have said 3 weeks later. And then you'll just say it next time. You just put that into practice rather than like, you know, knocking yourself for it. So I hope that made any sense. I hope y'all like took notes. Let me know if you have questions and if you want me to expand on any part of this further. And yeah, all right. Well, I will talk to you soon.
If you are loving the Trust Your Body Project podcast and are ready to dive headfirst into your healing transformation, head on over to whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom to learn more about working with me. whitneycatalano.com/food-freedom.